And I'll watch my attitude. And I'll say, Holy Spirit, is it appropriate? Let me give some other examples. Maybe some of you husbands here had a girlfriend before your wife. And you were a real jerk to her. I know this is a big stretch of the imagination. And you've been listening to all these sermons and you're thinking, you know, I think I need to make restitution. No, you don't. You don't go back to the old girlfriend. I'm so sorry. Because other innocent people are involved now. Do you see that? And you've just opened the door up for something else. So there are some things that aren't appropriate. Do you understand? Does that make sense? It doesn't mean that I shouldn't be remorseful, I shouldn't feel bad about it, but to go could potentially cause more harm or damage, right? I'm sure she's married a fine man by now. She's probably thinking, hallelujah! God has caused all things to work together for good in my life, brother. Amen. Just some things aren't appropriate. Maybe you were one of those people and you're watching by internet that did something inappropriate to a young person that was in your care or when nobody was looking. And now you feel the guilt. You're wanting forgiveness from Jesus Christ. You've experienced the forgiveness in Jesus Christ, but it is not appropriate to go back and confront them with that all over again, bring up all that hurt and that pain, and then say, hey, can I give you a hug? That's not going to be appropriate. You understand the difference? Maybe your folks did something that hurt you when you were younger. You carried the memory. This isn't extreme now, but just something that hurt you. But now they're 90 years old, right? It's been 60 years. It would be inappropriate now to go to them and say, you know what, you were a real jerk back in 1954, but I forgive you. They didn't even know, didn't even realize, and it would probably just cause more hurt than it would bring healing. So is restitution important? It is. But I got to watch the timing. Got to watch my attitude. And I really need to ask and seek the counsel of others as to what may or may not be appropriate. Well, when it's not appropriate, what can I do? I like to use the empty chair. Maybe the person you need to make restitution with is not possible because they're not with us anymore. This works both ways, needing to give forgiveness or needing to apologize. Maybe you write the letter you never sinned. Got it? Maybe you picture them in that chair. And you just go to them and say, what you did was wrong. It hurt. Forgiveness doesn't mean forgetting. We can't do that anyway. But because Christ has forgiven me, and I want salvation in this house completely and fully, by the power of the Holy Spirit, I can do all things through Christ who gives me the strength. I want to forgive, help thou my unforgiveness. I forgive you. If it's the person you've wronged, so and so, what I did was wrong. I've experienced forgiveness from Christ. My life has changed. I am so sorry for what I did to you, for the hurt that it's caused, for the damage it has done to your life. I take full responsibility for that. I don't expect you to forgive me. I don't deserve your forgiveness. Either way, I want you to know, I'm sorry. You might not ever get to tell it to that person. But sometimes it's just good spiritual therapy with you and Jesus together in the room to bring those people in one by one. I hope there's not a line going out the door, but there might be, amen. Of just experiencing the joy and the freedom that comes from being forgiven and forgiving and making amends when appropriate, when the time is right, when my attitude is right with those that I've hurt. It is the gospel. Because not only does God forgive us in Christ, but there's a restoration of blessing. It's the story of the prodigal son who has lost everything and comes home. And the father receives him back, but he also puts a new robe on him, shoes on, robe on, finger, ring on his finger, kills the fatted calf. Enter now into the joy of your father. When we receive Christ, not only do we receive forgiveness for the things that we've done against God. God says, I forgive you, but not only do I just forgive you, I restore to you the blessing. You are now an heir with Christ Jesus, a joint heir with Christ Jesus. What? So all this stuff, you know, Zacchaeus was hanging on to, his fortune that he had taken a life to amass, that he got his identity from, suddenly when he found salvation in Jesus meant nothing to him. But he saw how he could use it to be a blessing to others. Well, salvation didn't just come to Zacchaeus' house. It began to impact. Look how many poor people in the city suddenly could pay their rents, if you will, could feed themselves. Look how many people have been hurt and had lost and were angry, not just received back, but four times over. What did they do? Wow, look what Jesus did. Are there people looking at your life going, wow, look what Jesus did? Or are they still waiting for him to come to your house? Or are you confessing, I'm a Christian, but still stealing and robbing and hurting and abusing because you really haven't experienced the gospel of Jesus Christ? The gospel of grace, the gospel of forgiveness. Pastor Kurt, how do I know if I'm saved? How do I know if I've been forgiven? It seems to me one of the fruits of having received forgiveness is that you give forgiveness. You give. And you look at everything in your life with a new light and understanding. There's an incredible statement I heard years ago that still blesses me. He is no fool who gives what he can never keep to gain what he can never lose. He is no fool who gives what he can never keep. I'm not going to get to keep that rusted out Geo anyway. Amen. Make restitution when appropriate. Almost forgot. For almost 6 years, you have endured the torment of a pastor who takes shots at KU people. And notice the pun, takes shots. In all honesty and sincerity, I put this on this morning. This is a way of making restitution. My attitude isn't right. I really was going to try to get this right. I cheered for him. Okay. But you know all I do is in fun. And I love you. And I don't care what team you cheer for. It's just something we have fun with. But it's my way of saying, if I have offended any of you KU people, I hope I'm not doing it now. My timing might be bad. My attitude might need checked. Maybe it wasn't appropriate. So I'm giving you an opportunity to practice forgiveness, whether I deserve it or not. You know, unforgiveness is poison only to me. I did that illustration with the chains last week. It's just a reminder that forgiveness, again, is the foundation and the heart of Christianity. Receiving it. And Jesus saying, go and do likewise now. Part of becoming a disciple is learning to walk in grace and to walk in forgiveness. We're going to move on next Sunday to the next letter in recovery. But I just pray that the Holy Spirit will use these messages to stir within all of our hearts. What's our next step? What do I need to do? What have I just not dealt with? The Apostle Paul says, forgetting what lies behind. There's that word, but it's not in relationship to forgiveness. He was talking about the accolades that he had built up for his own life. He says, I'm forgetting those things and I'm pressing on to the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. When we say forget in relationship to forgiveness, what I mean is beginning to let it not just be right here in front of me, but moving it behind me. Paul says, I want to put these things behind me that I might move on ahead. I'm closing with this illustration. That most of the time when the offense happens, you know, and for years even, it's right here in front of me. I see everybody through it. Every relationship is through this hurt, okay? Everything I want to do, my motivation in life is all seen through this. When I look in the mirror, I look at myself through this. Maybe you're there. Maybe you've been there. What Paul says, I'm sorry, I got to tear this, is that you're beginning to focus on something else, fixing my eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of my faith. This is our lives, by the way. It's a process. Look at your neighbor and say, process. Sometimes it's a long road. It's a choice. It's a conscious choice. That's why Paul says, whatever is true, lovely, honorable, any excellence, anything worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Philippians 4, 8, 9, and 10. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your heart and mind in Christ Jesus. Forgetting what lies behind, I've got to put it behind me. Instead of being in front when I'm trying to drive, it's in the side now. We're making progress. I see hope. I'm beginning to feel freedom. And that's motivation to keep going. Clean the windshield. Eventually, it's getting back here. I still didn't forget it, but it's not my focus any longer. I can still glance and see it there in the rearview mirror. But I'm looking through the front windshield now. I see Jesus. I see the one I want to be like, the one who's come to give me life and grace and hope and forgiveness. And with time, it gets easier to keep this in the rearview mirror instead of back in front. Don't be deceived. Don't get impatient. You'll hear a song. You'll see something. You'll drive by the house. It'll want to come right back there. Focus again. Say, Father, come. Transform and renew my mind, and help me to walk and live in forgiveness. Jesus, I come today, and Holy Spirit, I pray that you would take these messages. Remind us of Zacchaeus, a man who grew in stature simply by finding the grace, who became big in the eyes of his people as a man who could change a city. A man who was once known for stealing and thieving was now a man known for giving and sharing and making restitution. Jesus, that's what you offer us, because all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. We are thankful for forgiveness that we find in you. Father, we are thankful that the Holy Spirit through time empowers us to forgive. And Father, to make right the hurts that we've made in the hope that as we focus now on tomorrow, we'll not make those same hurts or habits or hang-ups, because we are becoming what we already are in Christ. New creations, in Jesus' name. Amen. Hey, we're going to stand and sing together. Just as I am, what are we singing? Thank you. I surrender all. Wife and I will be down here to pray with you and to receive you. If you have any need for prayer at all this morning, if the Holy Spirit stirring in your heart, just come on down. If you don't feel comfortable doing that, search us out during the week. We'd love to visit with you and pray with you. That's what I'm going to do right now. I'm going to surrender all.
To Jesus I surrender all, to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence.
Seated just for a moment. We're blessed to have each of you here today. Just a reminder that when you forgive somebody, it doesn't mean that what they did was okay. And it doesn't mean that they don't suffer the consequences. If there's legal consequences in others as well, they should suffer those. They need to do that if they're going to change sometimes. God will use that. So maybe you feel guilty doing that, but at times the best thing you can do is say, you know what? You're going to court, and we're going to hold you accountable for this. And God will use that to change their lives. I hope this is helping somebody. And it doesn't mean that they got away with it no matter what. Do you know this? One day, we're all going to stand before God, and He'll make it right. So forgiveness just simply means in the end, God, I know you'll make this right. Maybe not in my timing, you'll make this right. Amen. So Father, I come and I thank you for these dear people. Fill us with your Spirit. Help us to have the courage and the faith, like Zacchaeus. Forgiveness at times can be like climbing out on a branch and it feels weak and scary. But it's there you see us, and you call us by name, and you say, now, I'm coming to your house. In Jesus' name, amen. We do have a short congregational meeting, so I'll dismiss you. You can go hug 9.5 people, and we'll come back for that. And we love you all, and thank you. Appreciate all you've done. Make sure you come down and hug Josh, Tabitha. Tell him how proud of him you are. Amen. Would you go in the grace and the forgiveness of Jesus? If you want to hug a if you want a picture with the pastor in his KU shirt, we're available. So there's your opportunity. God be with you till we meet again.